What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Californians have had not one, but two tsunami warnings over the last year. I only know that because I've been dating my dude about a year, and both of these happened while I was with him. But the only reason why I've got this time frame helping us understand what's happening is Dave Snyder, the tsunami warning coordinator at NOAA's National Tsunami Warning Center in Palmer, Alaska, where he leads efforts to ensure accurate detection and clear communication of tsunami threats through NOAA systems and emergency alert infrastructure. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Happy to have you here. Okay, scientifically, what is a tsunami? What happens in the ocean or in the earth that triggers them?
You know, most of the time, it's a very large disruption of the ocean floor, thanks to a really large earthquake that's moving that entire column of water suddenly, like a huge ripple. But it's not just at the surface. It's that entire amount of water from the surface of that ocean floor all the way to the top. And that change in pressure moves that wave out at hundreds of miles an hour, 500 to 600 miles an hour in the deepest water. And it races toward the coast. But when it hits the coast, it starts to slow down. And if you remember the little bits from physics class in high school, you know that we can't just make energy go away. It has to be conserved. So that energy transfers into that building of the wave or shoaling of that wave, and it starts to grow and pile up and then comes in as an ocean flood. But then it goes back out, and then it goes back in. And that back and forth motion is what does that destruction, because most infrastructure, ports, harbors, piers, things like that, buildings, they're not meant to withstand that tremendous and unusual force at the coast. And of course, we as humans don't want to be anywhere near that when that process is taking shape. That's a tsunami. You can replicate the same thing in your bathtub. You've probably seen your kids do it when they stand up all of a sudden and all of that water starts sloshing around. And if it goes over the bathtub edge, you just had a bathtub tsunami.
How do scientists know a tsunami is coming? So we're going to get into what happened to us in December, right? But this earthquake happens, and the next thing that we know, people, they're literally telling us to evacuate. How do y'all know that there may be trouble on the horizon?
Right. The way we know, and this is a really important point. I'm really glad you asked it that way. The way we know is we have to detect water. We have to measure that water either at a deep water pressure sensor or a dart buoy, one of the systems that we use that rounds the ring of fire in the deep ocean, or we have to measure it at the coast. That is it. But we presume a tsunami exists after a very large earthquake until we can rule out that it does not. So there's a period of time from the earthquake begins to the time that we actually detect it and begin to measure it at a deep water sensor that we don't know for certain that a tsunami is occurring, but we're going to act like it does to keep the most people safe and get the most people out of harm's way until we can tell you some better information.
All right, story time. So December 2024, I'm driving to pick up, I live in Oakland. I'm driving to go pick up my kid from UC Santa Cruz. I've reached Highway 17. I know you're in Alaska, so this may not mean anything to you, but it does to my listeners. I've reached Highway 17, and I'm cruising in, and I hear my phone alert go off, right? This emergency warning thing. But I'm driving, so I don't look. And then my boyfriend calls, and I answer the phone, and he says in sort of this weird tone of voice, "Where are you?" Which I think is weird because you know where I am. I told you I was going to get the kid.
Yeah.
And then he says, "All right, well, there's a tsunami warning for the California coast and you should go east." I'm an actress and an organizer. I don't know what east means. and I got to get my kid, right? So the parental thing is, I got to get my kid. And so I hang up on him because now I'm like, where's my daughter? And I call her and she's 19 and she's, "Well, you know, how serious is this, mom? And I don't want, you know, Otter the cat, he doesn't want to go in the bag and I don't know where my passport is. And I just woke up and I have, get your stuff and get in the car." And ultimately the decision that we made was not for me to go get her, but I did figure out where east was. All for the homies in the north, it's towards Martinez. Go that way, away from the water. So, but like people were, we had evacuation orders. The highways were getting packed, people trying to get out of town. I'm signal messaging with my team, right? As they're trying to figure out how to get to higher ground. Some of them don't even have cars. And then it went away. Then the tsunami warning was canceled. So another scientific question, basically, right? Like you said, how we know, but like, when is the determination like to go? And then how do we know? Because a lot of people, I'm going to speak for myself. When I heard an hour later, they were like, it's safe to go back. I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm going to chill right here where there's no water for like a year. So how do we know that when y'all tell us it's cool, that it's cool?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for your trust, right? Because those no notice events and those emergent and really frightening events are powerful. And so we take that seriously here before we ever touch a button that alerts any part of the public, whether it's the whole coast of California or the whole coast of North America. It's a very serious moment for us here. And I wish everyone could see us in that moment of pause. Like, are we sure? Yes, we're sure. We got to do this. And the reason we do that is to keep the most people safe and give people enough time to get away from the coast, as you did. So how do we know? We measure the water, again, at a coastal gauge. In this case, when that earthquake occurred just off the coast of Northern California, because that earthquake was so close to the coast, and after many conversations with the state of California and our coastal partners on the U.S. West Coast, we've determined that the best course of action there is to alert the coast right away with an evacuation level message with the state of California and get people away from the coast. And then the very next thing we're doing in that very next minute is looking for where are we going to start to see signs of a tsunami, if there is one, with the closest start station off the coast of Northern California, or it's something along the coast in one of the bays and harbors there. And as soon as we got a little bit of detection at the DART station off the coast of Northern California and saw that it was very, very small, we did confirm there was a tsunami, but we instantly knew that we could start looking at ways to get out of that warning and confirm that there was no significant impact or threat, which was great news. That's what we want. But that meant that 30 to 35 minutes of not knowing, and you were in your car wondering, is this the day for me, right? Yeah. That's horrible, right? We'd love to crush that time down and know instantly this is not a big deal. We can expect that it's probably not the biggest deal because that general part of the earth isn't going to create those mega thrust earthquakes that's lifting as much ocean as possible. It's probably going to do more of that strike slip, but we don't know that for sure in those first few minutes where we are mandated to get an alert out to the public to keep the most people safe.
Thank you for that. Super, super helpful. All right. Well, then it's July. This happens again, right? There's another tsunami warning, but now it's like, now we're talking about Hawaii, where I've got family. We're talking about Japan, not as concerning about California. Like it didn't feel as intense. Nobody's telling us to go anywhere right now, but you know, my friends in Hawaii are now in like the really high, you know, buildings. But what I did notice is someone that engages with the public on a regular basis, right? I'm looking at the socials and people are not taking this seriously. People are like, oh, well, we had the warning before and nothing happened. So, and I got concerned. And so I went on with absolutely no makeup and like from my bed and did this whole, like, you gotta get ready and you gotta stay ready, right? And you have to take these things seriously.
Yeah.
But so I want to do a couple of things because I want to help people understand. I want to walk through the different definitions of the warning so people know what we're looking at when you all are talking to us. And then I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about how people should prepare. And I want to talk about, because this idea, and I mean, it's probably from too many stupid movies about tsunamis that I've watched, right? But this image of everybody trapped on the freeway and you're there when the tsunami hits, I want to walk through the realities and not realities of that. All right. So a tsunami warning is where we'll start. Mm-hmm. What sure. What is that? You see it's a warning. What does that mean? What do you do?
Right. This is one of the four messages that we're going to send out to the public. Warning is the worst one. This is the one that you are encouraged to move away from the water, move to high ground, and wait for further instructions from your emergency management team there in your community. We are expecting dry things to get wet with a warning. And the best way to visualize this is probably what you're thinking with that Hollywood wave coming up and over the beach, over the skyscrapers. It's never going to look like that. It's going to look like an ocean surge or a flood that just keeps coming and coming and coming until it pulls back out. But that process could repeat for hours, maybe even days in the largest event, and maybe every 30 to 45 minutes or so. It's going to happen an awful lot. But what that means is this is a dangerous situation. Get away from the beach, the coast, the piers, the docks, the harbors. If you're not on your boat, your marine vessel, get to high ground and keep going up at least 1 mile or about 100 feet. Usually that'll do the trick. A warning technically for us means that we're expecting those water levels to come up above the high tide line by 3 feet or more. Okay, so that's a lot of water. And a tsunami advisory is the next lower stage there. That is not, I'd say, less of a threat. It just means that wet things are going to stay wet and dry things stay dry, but we're expecting a problem at the coast, especially in the bays and harbors. Remembering that tsunami literally means in Japanese, harbor wave, right? That's where they saw the most damage over their historical experience. And we would expect impacts in bays and harbors, but we're not going to see problems up on the dry streets in the city. So water is going to come up somewhere between 1 and 3 feet, but we're not expecting that to get up onto the roads serving the harbors and the main city streets there. It's still an issue where you don't want to be in the water because there's unusual currents and unusual directions with those currents and strength. And so it's still a good idea to get off your boat. If you're on a liveaboard, you probably want to go up to higher ground there, but it's not something that we need to evacuate the city for and panic for. Just stay away from the water. A watch is something else that we've used more recently, and that simply means a quake very far away from us, from California, has occurred. It's large enough to get our attention, and we're going to check this out. So we're going to work. We want to let your emergency management officials know that we're doing work, and you, as a member of the public, should pay attention to this, see if there's any more information. We're just putting you on notice that something's happened here and we don't have enough information yet. But usually we're confident that there is a tsunami occurring. We're trying to determine, is this coming your way? And before we get to about 3 hours out of a tsunami arriving at your coast, we're going to make a critical decision for your community. We're going to either say this is an advisory level alert now for your bays and harbors, or this is a really big deal. This is a warning. And we're going to do that with enough time that we can move enough people away from the coast and help your emergency management teams do that. Or if it's a watch, we can also say, you know what? No big deal. There's no impact coming here, and we can release that alert level for you, and there'll be no alert. So those are the three actionable alert stages that we use. The one that you're most likely to see all year long is something we say, the tsunami information statement. And why would we use something like that? That's just kind of boring. Basically, it's a no threat message. And that's because we teach people that tsunamis happen really quickly. If you feel a long, strong earthquake and you're at the coast, if you see the ocean water doing something or making a really unusual sound, you should leave that location and move to high ground and then look for more information, because those are signs of a tsunami. It can mean there's an underwater landslide, could mean that there's a, you know, earthquake very close to you that's disrupted that water. And you may be experiencing that as we're analyzing that, and your detection, your threat assessment could be faster than us sending you a message in that moment, and we want to keep you safe. So we send that message out to that general community to say, you're right, you probably felt something, maybe you saw something, but there's no danger. We have looked, and we're telling you, not a big deal. So we send that one out more than, you know, we may send that out a couple times a day sometimes. But the warning's the worst. Advisory is for the coastal areas there, and a watch means something really far away from you has occurred, and we're assessing that right now and making a determination. We'll let you know in enough time.
Dave, I'm about to let you go because I got to raise some money so I can keep having these conversations. Howsoever, I want to play something. I want you to tell people what they should do if they hear this. Rod, run that tape.
Yeah, boy, that's make the hair stand up on my neck. You know, I grew up in tornado country. I know that sound.
What does that mean? If you're by the water and you hear that, what are you supposed to do?
You know, to me, that's a tsunami siren, and I would encourage people to move to a safe location there. And, you know, assuming those are tsunami sirens, then 1 mile in, 100 feet up, and start looking for more information from a trusted government source or official that's helping you with emergency management. Your radio station, I'm sure, and many of the other communities that are served by radio are helpful information sources there. Get a trusted one that you know is going to be on. Don't rely on just one way to get an alert. Make sure you've got the free FEMA app, have a NOAA weather radio, and make sure you've got that trusted information source that can keep you up to date and keep you and your family safe.
And I saw you, as my colleague Brian Edwards Tickert was reading off the things that are in this pack that I'm about to talk to people about. You were nodding your head. Yes, these are things that are good to have. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, in Alaska, we have to think about emergency supplies for at least 2 weeks, and I've been hearing more recent times 3 weeks, because if we have significant disruption closer to where you are, anywhere from Tacoma down to the other strategic national ports, we're going to be hurting up here in Alaska. So, you know, make sure that you've got enough supplies and gear to take care of you and your family for that, you know, 1 to 2 week period in California. It's going to matter. It's going to count. And make sure you put something in there that you want to eat, that you and your kids and your dogs and your cats want to eat, because in those moments, you don't want to not want to eat that really tasty fiber bar, right? Get something good, but make sure it's nutritious and keep you going.
All right, Dave Snyder, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate you, and thank you for your work keeping us safe.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.